This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Happy Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 13th, Friday the 13th, woo-hoo, episode 1104, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Somewhere between cowboy and hippie, she's all about team. Love horses and me.
My love. There's so many ways I want to say I love you. Let me hold you in my arms forevermore.
You gotta sing along with that.
I did this one just for you.
Oh, I'm in the mood for love now. Thank you very much.
little, I did that all for you. Right there. I knew you'd like that.
You gotta love Friday the 13th and the day before Valentine's Day. It's like. It's just the perfect combination of days back to back. I love it. And, I told you guys last week that I told my husband, you know, not to buy me flowers, just, you know, do something, just make me a card, do something. I don't want a big present. We're in the money saving mode. And I put the baby to bed last night and I walk into the bedroom and there's flowers on my side of the bed. And I got to tell you, it's kind of nice. I know. He's like, I'm not going to not get you flowers. And I'm like, are you, you know, I didn't want to say, but I'm like, is this the precursor to you not making me something? Which, by the way, I need to make him something. I better work on that today. Holy cow.
Yeah, you brought that up. If you don't do it now, you're screwed. You're owing for a lifetime.
I need glitter. I need some glitter. Where do you get glitter?
That's great. Chad will go to work with glitter all over his uniform. That'll be wonderful.
It'll be Saturday. It's fine. Glitter sticks around to Monday. I'm guaranteeing it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you haven't written your letter yet? Oh, my.
No.
I thought you would have had that done by the time you asked him to do his.
Well, I've been working on other stuff. I'll tell you about in just a second. But, Jennifer, tell us what's on today's show.
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we've got a rolling start planned. Compliments of Sean Corr, who is going to stop by and explain why he has a horse-drawn carriage on the hood of his race car. And then joining the fun, Christina Hansen has an update on the horse-drawn carriage debate in New York City. And following a caffeine-fueled look at Valentine lists or two, the EquityMFG.com Really Bad Ads pokes a little fun at the advertising efforts of farm and garden posts across America. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Somewhere between.
Oh, wrong one. I hit the wrong one. Friday 13th. Hey, daily winning time. And I want to just give a happy Valentine's Day, one to my wife. I have to start there. My lovely wife, who we're planning on just being at home tomorrow, no traveling tomorrow. And
write her a letter.
To my co-host, Jamie. Happy Valentine's Day, Jamie. We've spent a few Valentines together now. And to all of our listeners, happy Valentine's Day to all of you. We love you guys, and we thank you for being here every day with us. We really do appreciate it. And it's your turn.
Oddly enough, my Daily Winnie goes out to you, Glenn, and to my husband, and for a completely different reason. I'm going to take you on a little trip right here.
I'm kind of glad of that, actually.
Say what?
And I'm kind of glad of that, actually, the different reason.
Yeah. I'd like to take you back till the age of 18. When I was 18 years old, I went and moved to Kentucky, to the Kentucky Horse Park. And I went to school there, their equine management school. And I was lucky enough to be there at the same time as they were starting what they called their Mustang troop. Okay, so it was a bunch of Mustangs, 12 actually, came from Carson City, Nevada, the prison. And they came across the country to Kentucky, where we actually worked with inner city youth from the Kentucky area and taught them how to ride and gave them riding lessons. And the wild children learned to ride on these wild horses. And it was one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. And since then, I have wanted a Mustang, my very own, and mainly from a prison trained Mustang from Carson City, Nevada. Well, Glenn, thank you very much. On Wednesday, told me that the sale for the Carson City, Nevada Mustangs is next Friday or next Saturday. So it is Saturday, what, the 21st?
Okay. Yeah.
So I would like to let you know my mother is coming in town. Let's see, Chad leaves town to go on a guy's ski trip on Tuesday the 17th. My mother arrives to come to visit myself and Lukey on the 18th, and on the 19th, we get in the car and start our drive to Carson City, Nevada.
Did you put all this together yesterday? Because I was just joking.
I know you were joking, but it's
I thought you only had 7 stalls and you have 7 horses. Of course, this is Mustang. You don't need a stall.
We have 6 horses, Glenn, and 7 stalls. It's just natural that we do that. So you got it because you threw it in my face and you told me, hey, it's going to happen. And then I went to my husband and I said, hey, I think it's time. You know, I said, I understand, husband, that my dream of owning a giant black Andalusian stallion is not going to happen until I'm at least 50 years old. So I understand that I have to wait till we go to Spain to pick out my Andalusian stallion. That's okay. I think it'd be a perfect 50th birthday present. But which is, by the way, a long time away. Thank you very much. But I said, right now, let's get the cheap one that I've wanted also forever, and we'll go adopt it and bring it home. And he begrudgingly said yes.
So, so he's not going to be along then to see witness the auction and seeing you buy your $200 Mustang.
No, he is not going to be here. And the bid started $100, and they said that they average $800 to $1,000. Now, I've seen them go a lot less, and I've seen them go a lot more. Because, you know, you
the
and
ones
I follow
you want,
this thing.
Well, the one you want will be $2,500. That's our
I
work.
Know. And he's given me a ceiling, okay? And we actually did a fake auction last night. He's like, okay, here comes Sheldon. And they say, $250, start the bid, and it goes all the way to $1,000, which is your limit. What are you going to do? I'm like, honey, I can't lose my dream horse for $100. He's like, okay, so you bid $1,100. They say $1,200. Well, it's only $100.
Now, is like, your mother going along on this trip?
Yes, my mom's going to come with me. You know, we're actually pretty excited because the drive – we're going to go through Las Vegas. I've already mapped this out. I've been working on this for 2 days. I think it started probably mid-show on Wednesday is when I started kind of hatching this plan. You know how we are, girls. We make a decision, we just go for it. So we're going to leave on Thursday, and we're going to drive up to Las Vegas, which is about 4.5 hours, and I have a girlfriend that lives there, and we're going to pull the empty trailer into her house, and we're going to spend the night with her, and then we're going to drive the 7.5 hours past that. On Friday, arrive in Carson City in the evening, have some nice dinner, get a hotel. You got to be there Saturday morning at 9 a.m. is when the inmates, the prisoners, well, they call them trainers. The trainers bring the horses out, actually get to talk to you and answer questions. But I called them and they said, it's kind of like a really bad ad is kind of how I was thinking about it because it's a competitive thing with these trainers, inmates, to see whose horse sells for the most. He's like, so you kind of, he's like, you'll be able to talk to them and they'll answer questions, but you kind of got to be able to read between the lines.
They are prisoners after all.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, they
known
have
for
to be
stretching
honest.
The truth a bit.
Exactly. He's like, they have to be honest about lameness issues, but they don't have to be honest about anything else. He's like, just understand that. I was like, oh, okay. I said, I'm like, I'm good at reading between the lines. I do it every Friday. I didn't tell him that, but
you know. That's what
your job is.
Hey, so I saw on your Facebook page that you were getting some help from Elisa Wallace, who is the expert at this. So one to look for. She kind of liked the same ones you did.
She did. She really liked Sheldon, which is the big black one. And
you do know Sheldon is the main character on Big Bang Theory. I'm just saying, okay?
The other one I like is named Leonard. So I thought
the other main character on Big Bang Theory. Obviously, they like Big Bang Theory at the prison because that's how they got the name.
Which gives me one more reason never to watch that show because it's awful. Anyway, so yeah, Elisa and I have been chatting on just the little private chats on Facebook, and she's super excited. You know, I said, hey, anybody want to go? She's like, do it. Like the meds, like forever, you know, she starts yelling at me on my comment section. So I contacted her and we've been talking.
We'll have to make sure we have her back after you get the horse so that you can say, ha, I did it. And she can stop yelling at you then.
Exactly. So she can stop yelling at me. There'll be a West Coast Eventing Mustang someday. I do also want to say thank you to my husband who's going to spend Sunday building a paddock.
Now, are you allowed to use pipe fencing for these guys, or does he have to literally build a paddock?
No, we can use pipe fencing, but he will have it cemented into the ground. So we have it's like part of our paddock that goes behind our stalls. It's like a little, I call it the bowling alley. It's really long and narrow. And so we're going to put a fence straight across to make that three quarters of it a pen, and it actually attaches to the stall. It's a perfect thing, and I've actually dreamed of this, you know, for a long time. Where would I put my Mustang? So we're going to make it a reality. And, you know, I mean, again, I may come home with nothing. I may get up there, and Sheldon sells for $5,000, and Leonard sells for, I don't know. Or I get up there, and I don't feel a strong connection with one of them. That's a lie. But whatever. So I may come home with an empty trailer, but I may not. It's going to be a fun drive with my mom. And
this will be the most expensive ski trip that your husband has ever taken.
Right? That's what you get for taking a vacation. You leave town, I get an animal. We're keeping it consistent here.
He wants to go out with the boys. He pays the price.
Exactly. I'm glad you understand.
Well, that's really cool. I didn't know nothing about that, and I'm excited to hear about how it all goes when you get back with your Mustang. And it'll be, you know, you can just reassure your husband, it'll be good for the show. It's good. I tell Jennifer that all the time. It's good for the show. Look, I got a driving pony. You're getting the Mustang. It's perfect. Perfect.
I told Chad, I'm like, I'm pretty sure we can write it off. Because I'll be
That's
talking
right.
about it that much.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're going to get to our first guest here. We're very excited about this. As all of you know, Jamie and I and Jennifer and Horse Radio Network are big supporters of the carriage horses in New York. Obviously, the mayor is trying to put them out of business and kick them out of town. And nobody up there really wants that to happen. And they're getting some major league high-powered support this weekend. And we're actually adding a few horsepower to it, and that is in the form of race car driver Sean Kaur, who is here about an hour, I'd say, east of where we are at the studio here in Ocala, and he is at Daytona. It's, of course, Daytona. It's race week coming up at Daytona, where there are going to be millions of people descending upon that coastal city, and the race car drivers are there now, and I understand Sean has to get out to the track soon, so we're going to bring him on, and then we have Christina Hansen coming on to give us an update as well. So race car driver Sean Kaur. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys.
So good to talk to you, and thank you. I got to start by thanking you for doing what you're doing for the carriages in New York.
Oh, trust me, it's it's an honor for me to just be able to be able to support such a great cause for the Carriage Association. So it's we're just a very small team. So kind of they had the open space on the car, and I kind of asked Mom about if she happened to know anybody who had a high end to get approval to get something put on the car, and she knows Allison Clark with the New York State Horse Council, and we were able to get the green light to show our support for the Carriage Association, try to help keep those carriages in the city of New York.
Well, I gotta say that I wanted to ask you. I read that you grew up on a horse farm in New York, right?
Yep. We have a 110-acre horse farm in upstate New York, just in Orange County, just the base of the Catskill Mountains, and kind of growing up around horses my whole life. Actually, training hunter jumper,
That wasn't dangerous enough for you?
No, it wasn't, I guess. When I turned 16, it kind of was like I needed a few more horses. So I got 300.
Okay.
I got over 300 of them.
I was going to say, I have never in my entire life heard somebody go from hunter to race car driver. That is just an amazing transformation.
Well... Yeah, I mean, well, growing up too, it was a lot of fun. So my sisters were into it, and me and my sisters were always very competitive. Anything she could do, I could do better. Anything I could do, she could do better. So I guess when I hit 16, though, it just kind of, I got my license and went, yeah, you know, I'm going to give one in a dirt car a chance.
Well, you know, you went from one thing. You went from being in horses when you were a teenage boy, when very few others were. So you had the pick of the girls there, and then you went to being a race car driver, and you had the pick of a whole different group of girls. But you still had the pick of the girls. You really went for it when you were a teenager. I missed all of that. I screwed up.
No, it's I'll tell you, for when you get to the racetrack, there are a lot less girls than they are at the horse shows. So it's
groupies? Don't you have groupies?
A lot less girls, not groupies.
Okay.
Oh yeah, because the groupies are all hairy, smelly men. That's the problem. Well, Sean, now you're racing. What level are you at? And keep in mind, we're a horse audience, so we don't understand this totally. What level are you at racing wise?
Right now, I'm racing in the Arca Menard series, which is it's the older style cup cars that were kind of phased out. Just as time goes on, the bodies get older, and but I guess Arca is the retirement home for the NASCAR Cup Series. That's the top series. If you look at it, it's kind of like a high school. We're the freshmen, so.
Okay, gotcha.
Then the next series up would be sophomore, would be the Camp Wild Chuck series, then the Nationwide series would be junior, and then the NASCAR Cup series are the seniors, the top drivers. But
that's a good way to. That's the best explanation I've ever had of that, actually. So you want to graduate eventually into NASCAR? Obviously, doesn't every driver, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very happy running with the ARCA series. It's they're really a good series. They try to keep everything very, a little bit more, not family oriented, but I mean NASCAR does too. It's but ARCA is just a very small series, so it's really nice to support them also. And well, this is one of their biggest venues is Daytona, so they've been racing here since the early '60s, and it's an honor to be able to run the track here. I've been running this track now since 2010, and every year I still get butterflies when you pull in here, and I drive the hauler down also, and just the drive down in the middle of the winter is a lot of fun too, because kind of get to see everything go from New York as I drive all the way down the coast. You see everything kind of turn greener and greener, and it's and the snow go away as you go. At this point in the wintertime, everybody's freezing and sick of the snow.
Well, I got to ask you, too, you have, let's get back to the carriages. I know you have said in articles that you, as a kid, used to go down, your parents used to take you down to the city, to Manhattan, and you have fond memories of taking the carriage rides. How much a part of your life and in time in New York were the carriages? And, you know, I obviously think I know what your opinion is about the mayor and what he wants to do there.
Yeah, honestly, that was the best part of New York City when I was little. When I was little back in the late 80s, early 90s, I remember I was always kind of like country bumpkin, like staying up in Orange County. And really the best part about going to the city, that the little bit of feel of country that's left is Central Park and the carriage horses. Being able to go over and pet a horse, I think that's one of the best lives for the horses, is you get 2,000 people that go over and pet them every day. I don't know where else any other horse is going to get that. So, it's just, that was like the last little bit left of what is the country. And it's, if they take that away, you just get cabs, buses, and concrete. And
yeah.
I don't know. I just hate to see that go. But yeah, growing up, what we're showing our support, I know the mayor, he wants them out. And with this, right now we have our entire race team that we were able to get NYPD hats. We're showing our support for the New York Police Department there, just with especially the two officers that were more or less executed in their car. We're showing our support for the NYPD, and we have the horse council on the hood and anything we can to support our state of New York. So,
well,
heck the race team's Empire Racing.
Well, that's right. It's empireracinggroup.com if you want to see what Sean's up to and follow his progress. And, Sean, I know you have to head out to the track, and we really appreciate you calling in this morning and stopping by. And thank you again for what you're doing for the horses.
Not a problem. Don't forget, everybody, Fox Sports 1. I know everybody's a little bit more into Wellington and all the Ocala's shows going on, but if anybody's bored and looking for something to watch, you got Fox Sports 1. I think around, let's see here, I think it's around
Saturday at 4? 4 o'clock Saturday is what I remember.
Saturday at 4 o'clock. I was just looking
yep.
at the schedule here. You're right. And give you somebody to root for. It's number 48.
Number 48, I love it. And Sean, I would like to throw this out to you because this is the extent of my NASCAR knowledge. Is, come on, baby. You're not first, you're last. There you go.
Little Ricky Bobby there, yep.
Little Ricky Bobby. Come on.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, guys. Have a good day. Thank you for having me on.
Good luck tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Fox, Lucas Oil 200, the Lucas Oil 200 tomorrow on Fox. Good luck, Sean.
I have a favorite driver now. I have a favorite driver.
That's right. We can all watch Sean, obviously a horse guy, grew up with horses. How cool is that? Well, we are going next to one of our friends. She is one of the carriage drivers in New York City. I suspect, looking at the weather, she's going to have a couple days off here because they can't drive under certain temperatures, and it's going to be freaking cold up there. And her name is Christina Hansen. She's been on our show many times before, and we're going to get an update on how everything is in New York. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Good. Hey, so good to talk to Sean. How fun was he?
He's just amazing, for him and his family to come and reach out to the New York State Horse Council like they did to say, we want to support the horse carriages. We know the New York State Horse Council supports the horse carriages. How do we get in touch with people in New York and make this happen? And it was just, it's an amazing gift from them, to show their support like that. And besides, how cool is that? We've gone from 3 miles an hour in Central Park to 188 miles an hour at the Daytona Motor Speedway. So that's just, it's just really cool. So.
I'm looking at the hood of his car in this picture. Jennifer will post it. We posted it this morning on Horses in the Morning. And is that you driving the carriage?
Well, it's not me, but I did design. I did draw the horse and carriage on there. it's, you know, any resemblance to persons living or dead is entirely coincidental.
Well, now tell us, last we talked to you, well, first, before we get into the politics, I got to talk a little romance here, right? It's Valentine's Day tomorrow, and I know you guys are going to be cold. What is the temperature that you can't go underneath?
We can't work if it's below 19 degrees. It has to be above 18, so it's got to be 19 or above. So, like, today, we're not working. It's about 9 degrees outside right now. Tomorrow, we have our fingers crossed. It is supposed to get up into the 20s. So hopefully we'll get out tomorrow.
And it has to be one of your biggest days, right?
Yeah, Valentine's Day is one of our busiest days in the wintertime. This is our slow time of year, and it is sort of the highlight of the winter. And it's on a Saturday this year, so that's a big deal because, you know, people, you know, make their plans oftentimes, particularly on the weekends when they can come out in the afternoon, take a carriage ride. So a Saturday Valentine's Day is huge for us. So we're hoping we'll be able to get out and get people the carriage rides that we know they're planning on, because we've had people ask all week, you know, like, is that going to be here on Saturday, you know, and how much is the ride? Is it the same price on Saturday for Valentine's Day as it is the rest of the time? And the answer is yes, it's the same. but we're telling people, you know, Friday we're not going to be here, Sunday we're not going to be here. We're hoping for Saturday, though, so.
Well, good. And I know you got another big storm coming in this weekend, and it's just one right after another.
The weather this winter, I think, is actually worse than the weather last winter, believe it or not. So,
now, I wanted to ask you that. Now, providing it's obviously not 100-mile-an-hour winds and freaking cold, when you've just had a snow, do more people come out and take carriage? I always wanted to do my carriage ride in New York City in Central Park when there's snow. Is it more popular then? Do people like that?
Yeah, I do think people do come out to see the park in the snow. And we do have snow on the ground right now in Central Park. It's gorgeous. It's been there for a while now. This is snow's been here for a couple of weeks. But, people
it's time
want
for
to
a
come.
Fresh coating. Then it's getting all dirty.
It's pretty nice in the park. What's happened, though, is that people in the rest of the city, it's been all cleared except for a few nasty piles that people don't realize sometimes, I think, that there's snow in the park and it's beautiful. And, you know, definitely worth coming out and seeing.
Now, let's get to politics a little bit here. And I saw the article about apparently you had a bunch of the models come down for Fashion Week. And, of course, all the protesters were there. By the way, God bless your patience, because I saw the pictures and the videos of the protesters really getting in people's faces. I would pepper spray them all. So I'm glad you have more patience, because I just would want to pepper spray everybody. So
the protesters, I mean, these are the PETA people. These are the radical animal rights extremists, and they have absolutely no sense of boundaries, you know, in terms of, you know, any kind of respect for anybody. You know, there are ways to protest if you have an opinion and share your opinion and people will hear it, but you don't have to be right on top of people. Like, they, you know, like, it was very difficult for the fashion photographers to get nice photos of the models without, you know, some, you know, sign, like, physically touching either the photographer or the model, like, in front of them. And that's very frustrating to us, you know, that the extremists just don't have any sort of sense of decorum or respect for people's personal space or respect for Victor Luna, the designer's First Amendment rights for freedom of expression. You know, they have their First Amendment rights, but so does he.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. And now you have, you still have this bill that's been in the legislature there in the town, city council. Where is that at? Where are we at with that?
Well, the bill was introduced on December 8th into the city council. It's intro 573 to ban horse-drawn carriages. From New York City, period. It is in the Transportation Committee right now. It was assigned to that committee, and it's a matter of, you know, when the Transportation Committee is going to put it on their agenda and have hearings and perhaps then a vote to pass it out of the Transportation Committee to the full City Council. Currently, the bill is undergoing what they call an environmental impact study, which is basically a study on the what the effect the bill would have on the environment, not like ecologically, but in terms of economically, traffic, you know, just the entire environment in New York City. And that takes about 6 months to complete. So, you know, this potentially.
So they're taking a look at what the impact is, taking the horses out and putting those gargantuan electric ugly cars in.
Yeah, the electric cars, they've also talked about, you know, instead of us driving carriages, that they would give us one of the green outer borough taxis, you know, what would be that, the effect on that be, you know, et cetera. So that's what they're looking at right now.
You know what's insulting about that whole plan of taking the carriage drivers and throwing them into the outer boroughs as taxi drivers is you guys are not taxi drivers. You didn't grow up to be taxi horse people.
Yeah.
You didn't grow up to
people.
Be. Yeah, exactly. You didn't grow up to be. That would be like taking a hunter jumper rider down here in Wellington and saying you can't do that anymore. You got to be a taxi driver. It's
exactly.
Just not what they. It's there's no difference, and I think people don't get that. There's no difference between or one of the top taking Stephen Peters out of the dressage ring and saying you can't do that anymore. You have to drive a taxi in one of the worst cities to drive a taxi ever, by the way. You know, it's the same thing.
it's the same thing, and it's insulting, and it's typical of the anti-carriage groups here in New York City, like New York Class. There's a reason why New York Class has class in their acronym. There's a bunch of wealthy folks who, you know, really look down on us and don't really even see us as human beings. They, in fact, Steve Nislik, the president of New York Class, has said that we're just glorified cab drivers. We're not horse people. He sat down in Wellington, Florida, and told a bunch of horse people that back in 2010. We're not horse people. There's glorified cab drivers referred to us as these people, you know, and it's infuriating because we are horse people, you know, and the cab drivers, for that matter, they're cab drivers. And this plan would actually put us ahead of the people who are actually on a waiting list to get these green cabs and who want to actually drive.
Well, that's
going to
piss them off.
Yeah, it did. It did piss them off. We're happy to say that the cab drivers in New York City are on our side. they want to drive their cabs.
Well, most of the unions
are on your.
Most of the unions are on your side. It's not just
cab
drivers. It's almost everybody. Almost everybody. I saw the recent polls. It's still 70-80% in favor of keeping
everybody.
The carriages.
And literally almost everybody in New York City is for us. But the mayor and his political friends, the people who helped get him elected. These radical animal rights people and real estate people, they're against us.
Now, let me ask you this, though, before we let you go, is one other question. You know, there's some sort of solidarity, obviously, with carriage drivers in cities around the world, and that includes Chicago, where we reported earlier in the week that they had a tragic fire. They lost 12 carriages. Unfortunately, no humans or animals were hurt, but could have been. Is there any update on the investigations there about whether that was arson or not?
There is definitely an investigation ongoing into that, and I imagine at some point we will be hearing more about that.
Are you concerned about that kind of thing?
Absolutely. The thing with the fashion show, the fashion show on Wednesday, indicates to us, you know, how close, I mean, they were in traffic with us. They were right in front of our horses, you know, and there was no boundary there. And yeah, we do get concerned that as this bill, which was promised to them, you know, these folks, these animal rights people spent a lot of money. And they devoted a lot of effort to make sure Bill de Blasio would get elected mayor. And he promised them that we would be banned his first week in office and in his first year in office. And those have both passed. We are concerned that when they're not getting what they were promised, that they may get frustrated. Coincidentally, the fire in Chicago was on the exact one-year anniversary of Alderman Burke introducing a carriage ban bill into the Chicago City Council, which the Chicago City Council had done nothing about because
the bill was really kind of introduced as a publicity stunt when everybody was talking about the carriages in New York City, and Burke wanted to say, we're tired of being the second city, we'll be the first to ban carriages, and we'll do it before New York City and Bill de Blasio does. And the city council did nothing with it for a year. And then, coincidentally, exactly a year after he introduced the bill, carriages are set on fire,
it seems,
in Chicago. So it is something that we're concerned about.
We are getting
tremendous amount of support that we're just grateful for with the fashion industry, with New York Fashion Week, with Victor Luna and Victor D'Souza back in the fall, with Sean Corr and ARCA. On Monday and Tuesday, the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show is here in New York, and we are having our second annual Canines and Coaches Open House for the people that are exhibiting at Westminster can come and tour our stables, because they're just half a block from where the breed classes are being held on Piers 92 and 94. So, it's frustrating to have to deal with this all the time. But at the same time, it has been a great opportunity for us to, build these wonderful alliances and connections with so many great people.
Hey, your business has reached, all publicity is good publicity. In this case, I bet you that it really kind of has been, in a way that people are more aware that they're out there supporting you, and that's a great thing. Christina,
mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for joining us again. We really appreciate it, and for arranging for Sean to stop by. I got to be a guy today. I got to talk cars, racing. I got to have some guy time, and I really appreciate that.
Different kind of horsepower,
yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
Well, Christina, thank you so much, and good luck tomorrow. Happy Valentine's Day.
All right. Thank you very much, Glenn.
Right. Enjoy your day off in 9 degrees.
Yes. All right. Bye.
They don't get a day off either, because they still got to take care of the horses, right? But they do not drive in the park when it's this cold. But I hope they have a warmer day tomorrow, because it is truly their busiest day of the year.
I would imagine, yeah. I mean, who the hell wants to sit in a carriage and freeze your butt off in that temperature?
Exactly.
The horses are probably fine. They don't care.
Yeah. They do have a heat limit, too. I think it's like 85 degrees or 87 degrees or something. And, in the city, the 87 degrees does feel a lot hotter than it does out here in the country. Well, that was fun. I got to geek out a little bit talking race cars and stuff. And what a nice guy. I'm glad he was able to stop by.
I have a new favorite race car driver. Never thought I'd say that.
Makes me want to see if there's tickets available for, a 200-mile race or 200-lap race I could probably handle. 500's a little long, but, Lucas Oil 200, that might be something. There you go. Valentine's Day, dear.
Glenn, they have the Lucas Oil 20-miler?
Yeah. That's where your speed.
Yeah. 10-miler, 5-miler, 1 mile. It's like the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. It's like the Derby. I want a mile and a quarter. Sold.
Kentucky Performance Products coming up, and then we have some news stories, and we're talking a little Valentine's also.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Researchers have confirmed that as horses age, they naturally become less sensitive to insulin and more susceptible to health problems caused by too much sugar in the diet. One way to reduce the sugar content in a horse's diet is to replace sugar-laden grains with a high-fat supplement. Fat is an extraordinary energy source. It is readily utilized by the horse and contains more than 2 times the calories of sugary grains. Equijoule Stabilized Rice Bran is an excellent fat supplement. It contains a balanced calcium to phosphorus ratio and won't cause mineral imbalances when added to the diet. Its all-natural ingredients are high in healthy fat and fiber. Best of all, Equijoule allows owners to easily replace the calories previously supplied by sugary grains. When you need to add healthy calories to your horse's diet, choose Equijoule. To learn more, visit Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
Well, Jamie, you said you have the complete story. On Wednesday, we were talking about a runaway horse, a horse that jumped out of the fence in Maryland, and then half the world, it seemed like, was looking for this horse, and it escaped for a couple days, and then they found it. But you said you have the whole story.
I do, absolutely. The story, and you surprised me here, so I got to go find
sorry.
It. talk amongst yourselves for a minute.
Well, it just was surprising how much publicity this horse got. It was in the Baltimore Sun, and which is the big paper there in Baltimore, and I just saw it everywhere. There must have been 100 articles written about this. I don't know why this particular loose horse got all the attention, but it did.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe it's a smaller community, and things go viral, though, it is just crazy how things can take off. And the story is they're calling him the most famous horse in Maryland. It was a gray gelding, warm blood, absolutely gorgeous horse named Iron League, who was shipped to this lady's farm to be put into training. And he had been there literally less than 24 hours. So, and she had turned him on a paddock. So he doesn't know where he is. And he just takes three strides and jumps out of his paddock. And so, I guess apparently that kind of happens around that area. So she goes, she bends down to pick up a lead rope, stands back up, and he's gone. There's no stopping at anybody's facility. There's not visiting any new horses. He's gone. So he disappears. They start the search. It goes absolutely viral. Apparently, her property is about 85% fenced, and the unfenced portion backs up to the wooded area. So he must have gone straight out that way. She said they get postings in, her name is Courtney, they get postings in the area all the time about loose horses. It's horse country. But, usually they're found munching at a neighbor's yard, she says. But there's no forage in the winter, really. And the horse is white with a purple blanket on. She figured it would be very easy to find him. That is not true. She puts a post on Facebook, "Hey, I'm looking for this horse. He's missing." They put together a flyer because she's looked for hours now and can't find him. So she goes and posts all this. Well, by the next day, radio and TV stations have picked up the story in Maryland, generating an all-out search. People took the day off work and brought over to her farm ATVs, tracking dogs. They also brought over horses to go ride the woods because it's apparently a heavily wooded area around there. They brought extra horses for other people to ride, tacked up, ready to go. She said it was like crazy. All of a sudden, these people just kind of swarmed to help her. She said it gave her great faith in humanity. So Tuesday, people search and search and search, nothing. Wednesday morning, her driveway fills with trailers of people who are volunteering their time, and this is the farm, and she pulls into the driveway. Her phone rang, and a UPS driver had heard the story on the news and had a couple hours before his shift started, so he decided to drive around looking for the horse. This UPS driver, God love UPS men. I mean, how many times have one of them saved your butt? Me, a couple. So the UPS driver's like, "Yeah, I got some extra time," starts driving around, and she gets a phone call as she's pulling into the driveway of the farm, and the guy says, "You still missing that horse? I think I see him." She asks for a description. He describes a gray horse with a bright purple blanket wandering up a driveway and grazing in their backyard. He said to her, he goes, "I know it says not to approach him. I don't want to scare him." So she told him, "Do not let the horse out of your sight." And she got in her car and sped over. She said he was standing there grazing without a single scratch or a speck of dirt on his brand new blanket. They had a huge rainstorm. That's what really slowed down the search problems, was the huge rainstorm that they'd had the past two nights. She said he was totally clean, completely unaware of his overnight celebrity status that he'd gained, and she led him the 2 miles home. She said that when she was leading him home, people lined the streets and were snapping photos as if he were a movie star walking the red carpet. I mean, what an absolutely cool story. She goes on to say, Courtney jokes that he's the most famous horse in Maryland. Now he's got a whole lot to live up to. We better go win Rolex or something now. Wouldn't that be cool?
That's funny. That's well, good yeah. for her. I'm glad she got the horse back safe. So many times we don't get that ending. So, yeah,
no,
that was
absolutely
a good
ending. Not. I mean, you know, everybody jumped on this. And we're, you know, I'm all the way across the country and saw people sharing it on Facebook. So, yeah, every once in a while these things strike a chord and really take hold. And, you know, I mean, but it's a problem that I think a lot of us have had. You know, it wasn't like, we don't know what happened. No, he jumped out of my pasture. I was right there. I saw it. You know, I think that makes it a little more real. And, hey, this is we can do something about this kind of thing, I think.
We've all had loose horses, especially anybody with electric fence has had a loose horse at one time or another. We had the big problem out where we lived in Pennsylvania that the deer would run through the fence and take the fence down for the horses. They kind of worked together.
No.
The deer were taking the fence down. Yeah, it wasn't the horses taking the fence down. It was the deer taking the fence down. So, yeah, we always had that problem with electric fence out there. Hey, and they weren't. That wasn't the only loose horse. There were stories everywhere this morning about loose horses. We had one in Texas below Dallas that a couple of horses were loose in the city, and I don't know how they got in the city. But, of course, what do the police do? They try and round them up with the cars with the lights on and everything. Yeah, we really need to train the police how to round up horses. So they formed a corral with the police cars and sort of shushed them along until the owner showed up and was able to catch him. But apparently it was quite a sight for a while. Why they didn't get out and just grab the halters, I'm not sure, because apparently the horses were just standing there. I don't know.
Sound for horses to come to you. All you have to do is rattle a plastic wrapper from a piece of candy. They will come right to you. Get out of mint.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Yeah, sirens are not the universal sound for horses to come with to you. That's not what really works. No. And
I'll tell you a story then, because I got a phone call yesterday morning at 6:15 in the morning, and my student who keeps her horse at her house called me. She's like, "My horses are gone. I don't know what to do." And I talked it through. Well, they have security cameras because they got a crazy neighbor. And the security camera, I can share it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Oh, my gosh. Her giant 17-hand thoroughbred, something set him off. And he just galloped up and was going to jump the fence, slammed on the brakes, slammed into the fence, and opened the gate. And
there you go.
They just left. She said she found him, once the sun came up. And the neighbors, I guess she's got an empty field behind her house, a desert farm field. And she said that she looked over her back fence to see him, and she didn't see him. Turns out he was laying right on the other side of the fence sleeping, flat out.
I'm tired. He had a rough night.
He is exhausted.
Partying all night like that makes you tired. You get a hangover. You're in an area, too, where if the horses really get loose, you're on the edge of the desert, right? So if they get into the desert, that's bad. It's harder to locate them out there.
It sure is. And there's just no way for them to survive in the summer. So, you know, typically that's why there's fencing. My entire property is fenced, and we have a front gate. You have to get out and shut it and get out and open it. And Chad sometimes goes, "Just leave it open." I'm like, "Nope," because I have come home too many times to see a horse grazing in my front yard. close the gate every time.
We our gate spring loaded at our farm. You couldn't leave it open.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
Well, in Maine yesterday, they had some horses get loose, too. 25 ponies broke out from their pasture on Route 1 in the little town of Holton, Maine, and decided to go on a wild ride. Norwegians, of all things, and some, what are they called? They were some of the odd, it starts with a C, and I can't remember the name of the breed, Caspian or something like that. And they all decided to go on a run down through the neighborhood yards and all that stuff. And I love the owner. The best part of this is in the story, and I don't know why these always make the news, but they do. The best part of this is, as she said, the Norwegian fjords tend to get obese if you give them a round bale of hay, and they have no way to work it off. They're usually pretty lazy. So what she was trying to do is give them a diet. So she was giving them, you know, just square bales, and then they ran out, and they decided that 5 to 6 hours without their head stuck in a bale was not good, and they took a bead on the fence, and that was it. They saw hay on the other side, but then they take off down the neighborhood, you know, they get running. And apparently it was quite a sight for people going to work that morning on Route 1 with 25 Norwegian ponies out there running around yards. They did get them back in about 20 minutes and were able to corral them and get them back. Basically, she said, Norwegians are really food motivated, and you just show them some hay and they're going to go. But she was very surprised they broke out. But apparently putting Norwegian ponies on a diet is not a good thing. Not something they take to, no. And we have seen some fat little Norwegians, too. Yeah. Let's take a break for our song, and we're going to come back. And I have the Valentine's list for you of,
I got one for you.
All right, cool. We'll be back just a minute. We have to hear from our sponsor, Bimita, and then also Love is a Rose by Templeton. How could I play anything else?
We all know the importance of deworming our horses, and Dr. Ellefson of Bimita Equine is helping us make sure we are doing it right. Listen for his four-part series the first week of every month on this very show. I just wanted to remind everyone, if you are due for deworming, why not save a few bucks on the popular Bimita line of wormers, including Equimax, Bimectin, Exodus, Exodus Multidose, and Equil. You can find coupons and special offers at BuyMediaEquine.com, including a variety of rebate offers from cash to free ivermectin. You can also get up to $2 a dose back for Equimax. And while you're at Bimita Equine, get your free horse health record keeper, and you can just download it there. Plus, learn a bunch about parasites and deworming at Bimita, that's B-I-M-E-D-A, equine.com. We at the Horse Radio Network all use Bimita dewormers because we want the best for our horses, and we know you want the best for yours, too. Bimita, equine.com, and tell them the Horse Radio Network sent you.
And I dedicate this to my lovely wife.
Listen to the words.
It's just pretty. It's just pretty.
Love is a rose, but you better not pick it. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you miss it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. I want to see what's never been seen. Love is a rose. Hey, love is a rose.
Templeton Thompson, Love is a Rose. Was that a Dolly Parton song first?
I believe it was Neil Young.
Okay, I wasn't sure who sang that, but she sounded like Dolly a little bit in that song. Well, you know, you are listening to Horses in the Morning. Of course, it's the day before Valentine's Day, and I have some stats for you here on Valentine's Day. Of course, I did my duty already. I have done well this Valentine's Day, so I am covered. I am good this year, and I even got a note from Uta the other day when I mentioned what I had done. She said, "Ooh, you did good on Valentine's Day." So even the listeners are saying I did good, so I feel good about myself this year, unlike most years. So now, Valentine's Day, $130 is what the average person spends on Valentine's Day for gifts.
Wow.
I'm a little over that this year. I got to admit, just a little. But that's the average. And then there are an estimated 224 million roses given on Valentine's Day. And you got some of them, right? You're good at that right now. So
mine was a mix. There was a mix. There was one red rose in it, and that's all I needed. Love is a rose.
I think that's classy. I think that's classy, one red rose like that. I give him credit. I'm giving him props for that.
Classy and cheaper, which I love.
51% of people buy red roses for the holiday.
Wow.
I thought it would be a little higher than that. 64% of men buy flowers for Valentine's Day, only 36% of women. And I venture to say that the 36% of women are buying them for themselves because
they're single. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You've got somebody in the office, you send yourself some red roses on Valentine's Day. Genius.
Have you ever done that? Sent yourself flowers?
I refuse to comment on that. Let's move on.
$18.6 billion will be spent on Valentine's Day this year, $1.6 billion on candy, on chocolate, $1.9 billion on flowers, and $4.4 billion on diamonds, gold, and silver.
Good Lord.
We don't do much in the giving jewelry thing because Jennifer's a horse girl and never wears it, and she always thought it was a great big waste of money. So that has never been a thing in our life, and I think probably for most horse girls it's never been a thing because you never wear it, and then you don't want to wear it because it gets all crapped up. So the when we had our big anniversary, I think it was number 20, we went to North Carolina to a mine, and we actually went out to the mountain, and we dug our own and went and did the little sifting thing, and we found some jewels that way that we then had put into a necklace for her, and she still wears that. So we went and did it ourselves. It was kind of cool. That was
nice.
Fun. How much money do you think, on average, pet owners will spend on their pets on Valentine's Day this year?
Oh, my gosh. Probably more than they spend on diamonds.
I think you're going to be surprised. Only $4. Apparently, pets are cheap. So it's $4 on average. I guess a toy.
Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah, that's about it. Now, how many people say that sex is an important part of their Valentine's Day? What percentage of people, men and women?
Okay. Are we combining men and women? Gosh, I would say the men say 100%, the women say 50%. I say 100%. I'm speaking for women. So let's go with 100%. I mean, everybody wants to get laid on Valentine's Day, right? I'm being real.
Apparently only 85% want to get laid on Valentine's Day.
Oh.
The other 15.
Where's that other 15?
I don't know. They're not having sex at all, is my guess. That's my guess. 6 million people are expecting a proposal tomorrow, and 5.5 million of them will be very upset and disappointed. I made that up. But 2 days ago, on Tuesday, was the best day to break up with someone, and apparently the most popular breakup day of the calendar is like 4 days before Valentine's Day. And I think that's partly because you don't want to buy a gift, and you think, oh, I got to break up anyway, I might as well do it now. And then you don't have to do the whole charade and be one of the 15% who doesn't have sex on Valentine's Day.
No, dude. I was in high school, and I had a dude break up with me literally 4 days before Valentine's Day, and the day after Valentine's Day tried to get back together with me. Like, Oh, yeah.
Epic fail.
That didn't work, did it?
No, it did not. I've kind of always been a hard ass about stuff like that.
Hey, now, do you
I've got a list for you.
Oh, good, good, yeah.
And I'm going to rename the list. I'm going to rename the list. It's called Top Romantic Movies for Valentine's Day, but I'm going to rename the list Top Movies That Jamie's Seen a Million Times a Piece, and they're her favorites, and Glenn's probably never seen them.
Well, that's probably safe. That's probably safe. All right, now let's sit down.
Okay, top romantic movies for Valentine's Day, i.e. Jamie's favorite movies. Number one, When Harry Met Sally, 1989, Billy Crystal, Meg Ryan. You have seen it?
Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal in it. You had to see it. I think it's required.
I saw that for the first time, last year?
Yeah, we rented it again. I've seen it several times then, actually. Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, so
hey,
good.
Look at me romantic.
We're only at number one. Let's move down to a Jane Austen classic, Pride and Prejudice. Now, their list says the 1995 miniseries with Colin Firth, but I'm going to go out a little further and say that Keira Knightley and Michael McFadden, Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley. That's the better one. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, my God. Bennett. Oh my God, it's so good. I could quote the whole thing. I've watched it a million times. Even Chad likes it because he likes, you know, Keira Knightley, so he's in. This one I haven't seen, and it's from 1970, Love Story with Ryan O'Neal.
That one doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah. Next on the list, you have to have seen it, Pretty Woman, 1990.
Yes,
Richard Gere, Julia Roberts.
One. Yes, I have seen that one. It's about a prostitute, right?
Let's expand on that a little bit. Yes, she is an escort, and he is a very wealthy lawyer. gosh, you're a jerk. All right, another one of my favorite movies of all time came out in 2003, Love Actually. Hugh Grant, Liam Neeson, Colin Firth, Laura Linney, Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman, Keira Knightley. Have you seen that movie a million times? It's a great Christmas time, too.
We have not seen it a million times. We saw it for the first time. Didn't we watch that just this December, Jennifer? We saw it for the first time before Christmas?
Yeah, we watched it over Christmas because Jamie kept going on and on and on about it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Did you love it? Wasn't it great?
It was actually a pretty good movie, I have to admit. I would probably watch it every year, but that's a pretty good
movie. It was dumb, Glenn. It was a dumb movie.
Trying to give Jamie some props here.
You are a heartless woman. I'm serious. All right, well, there is no woman that can resist the power of Ingrid Bergman and Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca, 1942.
Have you seen it?
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, so good.
Yeah, I don't do movies before 1960 unless they have a tank in them. So I've never seen it.
There's airplanes. There's war. It's great. It's black and white.
I don't do old movies. I don't do old movies. No. I don't do black and white movies either. Yeah.
Ghost, 1990, Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore. And again, this is the list of top romantic movies for Valentine's Day. Ghost, Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore, 1990. Have you seen it?
I think so, years ago. Didn't we see that, Jennifer, maybe when it first came out? We might have seen Ghost.
I've seen it
Yeah.
Patrick Swayze, shirtless, hello. See, I'm with you, girl. I'm with you. And then that scene where they're, like, making the pottery. Oh, come on. I mean, that's iconic. And then finally on the list, and I will give you $150 if you have seen this movie, because I guarantee you have not. Shakespeare in Love, Gwyneth Paltrow.
I would like to take your money, but no. You don't have to give over your money. And this is Gwyneth Paltrow has, like, gone off the deep wacko end here. She is really getting nutty.
You watch your mouth. I will defend her till the end.
She's really getting nutty.
I thought it was a good movie. You don't get the money.
And I do have a comment from the Peanut Gallery, and this is Dr. Wendy Ying is listening in this morning. And she says, gag, Jemmy loves chick flicks. How not to get sex on Valentine's Day. Watch a Jane Austen movie.
How dare you? The only Jane Austen movie that rivals Pride and Prejudice is Sense and Sensibility, Wendy Ying. And I'm sorry, if your dude wants to get laid, have him put on a Pride and Prejudice movie because it will work. Okay, watch your mouth. I cannot believe I'm having this argument with a sensitive, holistic, healing doctor.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later.
He
says one thing
and
he means another, but
that's the best.
Hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading.
Really,
they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when we kind of make fun of people who have posted some really bad ads across the country, and our listeners submit these ads, and we give out prizes. And, of course, it is sponsored by EquityMFG.com, the home to the Shakin' Fork and the Flexin' Fork. And, of course, if you want the ultimate in poop cleaning experience, you need a Flexin' Fork or a Shakin' Fork. If you clean less than 3 stalls a day, hop on over to EquityMFG.com and get yourself a Flexin' Fork. You will never, ever regret it. You will love these forks. We have been using ours now for almost 3 years, and we haven't broken a tine. They just keep on working. Now, I will say this. One of the hosts on the Horse Radio Network finally broke a fork. Jamie,
what?
It is. Yes, they have broke the Flexin' Fork, but it was not the tines, it was the handle. The handle broke, which, you know, any handle's going to break, and you can just replace the handle, so that's fine. So that's what they did. They replaced the handle. But, yeah, so they do break eventually. We certainly have been putting them to the test over the years and have not had that trouble. And, you know, I was at the store the other day. I was just there. Well, we were at – I know where we were at. We were at the Dover store in Wellington. And they had the forks. Remember the ones I was making fun of last week that have the replaceable tines? And I looked at them closer, and I just shook my head in disbelief that somebody was going to pay that kind of money, and by the time you're done, more than you pay for a Flexin' Fork, for a fork that you know is going to break, that they're telling you, this is going to break, buy replaceable tines for it. Why would you do that when you can just buy the one that's not going to break? I don't get it.
I know. And then you're going to have to, like, take it apart, and, you know, I'm sorry, there is a lot of stinky as poop on those things, and there's like crevices on those things, and I don't want to touch those. I just want it to not break, period. Done.
That's right. Well, we are giving away a prize every month from Equity, and that is a Flexin' Fork. And what we're doing is we're putting all the names in the hat of everybody submits an ad, not just the winners every week, but everybody submits an ad. And the last show of the month, we're doing a drawing for a Flexin' Fork. And then at the end of the year, we're taking all the names of everybody that submitted all year long, and we're doing a drawing for a Shakin' Fork worth almost $250. So you definitely want to take time to do the ads, and you definitely want to head over and get one of the forks today, because you don't want to clean another stall without a Shakin' Fork or a Flexin' Fork. Jennifer, we also have a little prize every week for a winner. And what is the prize this week?
This week's prize is a cute and clever over-the-shoulder bag from Carrots. This durable over-the-shoulder bag takes the essential features of a backpack, like ample room for riding gear, cell phone, and mesh helmet compartment, and combines them with the equestrian fashion sensibility that Carrots is famous for. In other words, it's perfect for keeping organized while on the go. You can find the Carrots bag at a retailer near you, or you can go to carrots.com. That's Carrots, K-E-R-R-I-T-S.com.
Very good. Well, let's get started. I think you have the first one today.
Okay, sounds good. Here we go. I was busy looking at more romantic comedies that I love. So the first one is just ridiculous. I cannot believe that. You know, it sounds, you don't understand it until you see the picture. So we actually should post the picture on Facebook too, Jennifer. This was sent in by Diane, and it is a chicken/goat trailer. A chicken goat trailer for $550. So where else in Florida? And that sounds like the kind of trailer that you would, like, travel with, right? No. Here's the ad. 28-foot mobile home used as a chicken coop and goat shed. this 28-foot Leighton travel trailer, not fit for human occupancy, that I have been using to shelter chickens and goats has worked great for this purpose. Cheap, movable shelter. I have sold the goats and only have 5 chickens left, so I no longer need this unit anymore. The roof was sealed a few years ago, so it does not leak like it did when I bought it. The floor does have soft spots, but I just laid some plywood down, and that works fine for the animals until they pee on it again and make it soft again.
Ew.
Trailer frame looks very solid. Tires hold air. Trailer does come with title. Wow. Looking at the picture, this is literally a single-wide mobile home with, like, you know, the kitchen and the oven and the drawers and all this. And there's a chicken standing on the sink and a goat eating the wall. There's some hay on the ground. It's so crazy.
Let me bring something up. If you're going to buy this, don't you have to somehow get it to your farm? Does that mean you have to get in this stinky mess and drive it to your farm? Ugh.
Can you imagine how bad that thing smells?
First of all, it leaks water for about 20 years. So there's mold and chickens and goat poop in there. Ugh.
It's like they had, you know, those Venetian blinds that they put in all of those things. It's been goat chewed, and there's a hole in the wall where the goats have chewed a hole in the wall. And I don't know what that is on the ground in the forefront, but the chicken on top of where I know the sink is really sells it to me. Good job, Diane. Nice.
He's a very happy chicken. He's got a nice house.
The goat is eating the wall very happily. So poor goat's gone now.
Sandy sent in the following, and I don't even know if I can read this thing. It's so misspelled. Horses for sale, 2 geldings, 1 mayar, 1 stud, 500 to 2500 $500 to $2,500. I have no idea. Leave info and phone number, and I'll get back to you. One horse is a hunting horse you can shot from. Cost varies. Thank you, or contact me here on the list. Because of phony calls, you call M. These are good horses, not just barn standers. Age from 5 to 13, hand broke, and field and pasture raised. Where else would you raise them?
I got to give you a round of applause because you actually made that sound a lot more legible than it actually was. Because is every letter, every number is a number. It should be spelled out, and it's the punctuation is very poor. There's no upper. I mean, this is a bad ad.
Mayor is M-A-I-R, and it's gilding. By the way, that has to be the most misspelled word in the horse world is gilding. We have had more misspellings of gelding than any other word. That has to set a record. They never get gelding. And I love how these are good horses, not.
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 And that's all capital. And then it goes to all lowercase and pasture raised, R-A-Z-E-D. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Laura sent in the next one. Laura Burlingame sent in this one. And she sent it more as just like a screenshot. And I love the Jimmy Fallon segments where they do screenshots because this is exactly one of those. And she said to Jen, she says, "Hi, Jennifer, not sure this qualifies as a really bad ad. But when I was browsing horses for sale on Equine Now, listed among the possible desirable disciplines available, such as hunter jumper, kid safe, natural horsemanship training, what's the option lethal white? Whoa. I had to try it, but there weren't currently any for sale. Surprise, surprise. Very rare and niche market with untapped potential, and I hope it stays that way. Do you know what a lethal white horse is?
No.
I should Google it to give you the perfect...
Is it actually a thing?
Yes. So what happens is, and I was... party to a really, when I worked at the veterinary hospital, a very poor paint breeder that it's like if you breed Overo and Overo and they have
that have the gene for lethal white, like 75% of these foals are born basically dead. And it's called lethal white. They are born at, like, full term, and they appear normal, but they have all white or nearly all white coats and blue eyes. But internally, their colon isn't, like, connected. And so the foals die very painful deaths or are euthanized once they're born. And it's a very sad, very terrible thing. And, again, they don't grow up. And the fact that Equine Now has them advertised for sale – you better buy them quick because they don't live a day. Laura, I appreciate how terrible that is because this stupid breeder, 75% of her foals from this one mare were lethal white in the stallion that she owned. And so, but she just kept trying and it was just the most sad thing I've ever seen. It was terrible. And it makes me mad that that's even an option.
Okay.
Why
well,
is that an
that,
option?
That's something I didn't want to learn today. So
well, you know what? We are an educational radio show, and that is what we do. I'm so sorry. And
all
again,
right, well,
it's supposed to be funny.
Way to bring the show down,
Laura.
Way to bring the show down. Laura probably didn't know it was a thing either. Laura's probably knew it was me going, oh, that's just weird. Well, Beth sent the following one in. Horses, $625 in Harrisonburg. We have a real beautiful horse and her colt for sale. They are both beautiful horses, would make nice Christmas gifts for anyone wanting to ride.
Oh, Lord.
Mom has been clogged. Yes, Mom has been clogged. C-L-O-G-G-E-D. Just outside of Harrisonburg. Still have them two for the price of one. Okay, now tell me clogging a horse is a thing.
I can't tell you that one. That one I don't know. Jennifer, you can Google that. It's always fun to Google these things and see what comes up.
Mom has been clogged.
And Beth found this one. I wonder if she found it like before Christmas or did she find it now and they're advertising these horses as Christmas gifts for next Christmas.
Next year. Yeah, I'm hard up. That's funny. Thanks, Beth.
Patricia sent in the next one. Thoroughbred dash horse slash stallion slash stud, $1,200. This is a very knowledgeable horse person. Selling my thoroughbred stallion stud. Selling my thoroughbred stallion stud. Breed, thoroughbred. Age, 4. Height, 16.2. Color, chocolate mixed spelled. Discipline, English and Western. This gelding, wait, wasn't it a stallion? My horse, thoroughbred stallion stud. This gelding is not easily spooked and has brilliant ground manners. 4 years old with a good head on his shoulders. I let my kids around her and she stands still and remains calm while they're fussing around him. Are you tracking this? So far, it's a stallion stud gelding mare. The next sentence is, he is the nicest stallion I have ever seen. Calm, not easily fazed, doesn't kick or bite. He will literally do anything you ask her to do. What? And he is in great health and love to take shower. If you need any more info, then please email or text me. Yeah, I need some more information. What the hell are you selling? It's a thoroughbred stallion stud mare gelding.
It's a hermaphrodite. You didn't know they had those in horses, did you?
I didn't. That's cool.
That is a really bad ad. I mean, she in the same sentence went from male to female. In the same sentence.
That's awesome.
There's a person who doesn't know much about horses. That was very good. That was a very good one. Thanks, Patricia. Brooke sent the following. Brooke sent in our trailer of the week. And this is the first trailer. Well, let me read it first. Homemade horse trailer, $700 in Texas. This is a very well-built. All the treated 2x4s are screwed and not nailed, so it can be taken apart by you or your horse. Has brand-new tires and a brand-new treated floor. Now, imagine looking at a horse trailer that's built with pallets, and that's exactly what this looks like. It looks like they took a bunch of pallets, took them apart, and put it together to make a horse trailer. Well, I wouldn't put my horse in it. Let's put it that way. It does, one kick, and I guarantee you this thing is coming apart. It is not staying together. And, oh, it's air-conditioned, too, because they didn't make the sides solid. They put spaces between the boards. So
it's a pallet.
Kick,
you're right.
Yeah, it looks like a pallet. It looks like it was put together with pallets. Yes, wooden pallets. It's just a book. This is a good picture. I've never seen this.
You
before.
Can't transport chickens in that thing.
No,
I mean,
no, they would fly out.
That is amazing.
And a
That's
pony
amazing.
Could put his foot through the holes in the slats. Very bizarre. Very bizarre horse trailer. Jennifer's going to post that one on Facebook.
Okay. Leilani sent in the next one, and she says that I have to do it in a southern accent. And it's appropriate because it is in Bush, Louisiana. But I don't do Louisiana accents. I'm just South Georgia, so we'll see what we can do. All right, here we go. New English saddle, $1 in Bush, Louisiana. Up for trade or barter, really nice English saddle with leathers and irons. It is new, still in the shipping plastic, never been put on a darn horse. We'll trade. Sorry, I'm not southern enough this time. We'll trade for tools, farm stuff, riding mower, really nice push mower, flat boat, or just about anything of the same value or more. I'll meet you halfway somewhere. I live in Bush, Louisiana. Let me know what you got. Thanks, Tony. Let me just give you a taste of the spelling. Let me know what C-H-A got.
What you got? That's your spelling in Louisiana. What you got? That's a word. That's that qualifies. What you got? That's very Cajun. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't speak.
Angela sent the following one in. Nearly black AQHA 2008 mare for $1,500 in Clarksville. That's got to be Tennessee. One owner raised on the place out of a really nice lean-on Fritz cat bid healing mare. Buy a super all-round, do-anything, multiple award-winning and money-winning ranch rope speed cowboy extreme stallion named Skips Conbrio.
Wow.
We owned both her sire and dam. Had 60 days with a trainer in Hector to start as a three-year-old, ridden a few times here and there, and then this fall she had 30 days with another horse trainer, apparently the one that Hector sucked. She was wired pretty tight, quick to react and move, not quick to pitch, but she can. Does that mean buck, by the way, in southern lingo? Is pitch a buck?
I think so. That's a nice way of saying buck.
Buck, not quick to pitch, but she can. I thought it should have fit in there. Not quick to pitch a fit, but she can. We're too damn old. This is the best line ever in a really bad ad. And remember, she's wired pretty tight and quick to react, and she pitches a fit. We're too damn old and fat to like any of that anymore.
Gotta love the honesty.
Loads good feet, never had or needed shoes, of course not. Good looking, well built, and naturally gets her butt up under her. Another way of saying she bucks. Really good. Prefer to sell, but will consider trades or partial trades for good quality colts or geldings. Apparently, there's no more mares allowed at that farm.
No, give me the hell out of this mare. Give me something, anything else.
That's a really good ad. We're too damn old and fat to like any of that anymore.
All right. William sent in the next one, and this is short and sweet. Horse tackle. T-A-C-K-E-L. $75. Horse tackle. Hello, hello. Am looking for few things for my girlfriend's saddle. She needs girth, a bridle, no bit, and a lounge rope and balls. Thank you. God bless.
Do we need to say any more about that? Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Let me just read it again. Oh, I'm looking for a few things for my girlfriend's saddle. She needs a girth, a bridle, no bit, and a lounge rope and balls. Thank you. God bless. Oh my gosh! And the next
we have to
one,
end with
Uta,
that. Let's just save the next two for next week.
Okay.
Let's end with balls. Why can we? Why there's nothing after that, right? I mean, lounge rope and balls. And
I do. That's a great one. Happy Valentine's Day. I like Patricia's the thoroughbred stallion stud. I mean, that's
yeah.
What
I mean, yeah. Okay, we'll give it to Patricia. Patricia, I don't know how to say your last name. Gwynden. Patricia Gwynden is the winner, and she is the winner of this week's prize, which is the shoulder bag from Carrots. And we appreciate Carrots donating that for the winners today. You can visit, find all of their terrific products at carrots.com. And we thank EquityMFG.com for sponsoring this Really Bad Ads and every week's Really Bad Ads and for producing such great manure forks. You could probably need one of those to clean out that that wonderful 28-foot Leighton travel trailer. That's not fit for human occupancy.
You can live in it.
What a great batch of ads this week. You guys exceeded expectations this week. Good job. Absolutely. Send next week's in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Put Really Bad Ads in the subject line. And also, you want to make sure that you copy and paste the entire ad into the email so it doesn't go away. Well, that was fun. That was a good week. We had a fun week here on Horses in the Morning. It was a good week.
Absolutely. And thanks, you guys, for putting up with me. And thanks, Glenn, for letting me know that the Mustangs for auction next weekend so I can drive my ass 11
now,
hours.
Now, wait a minute. When are you leaving again? You're leaving
Thursday?
I'm
leaving Thursday. Yeah.
Are you going to be on this? Are you going to be from Mustang? From, are you going to do the show from Vegas on Friday morning, or are we going to have need a substitute?
I need to check the time, but I'll let you know. I may be on my way on the road, and where I'm going, my friend, I'll tell you what, there is no cell service. So if I can stick around in Vegas, I'll do the show. But otherwise, I can't say that I'm going to be driving and talking. Cause
well, Wendy,
just,
if you're still listening, I hope you're on call for next Friday then.
Yes.
If you're still listening. And then we could do the movies that real horse women like. And currently
how dare you? How dare you? I'm going to let her take next Friday just because of that. I want to hear it.
See you, everybody. Have a terrific weekend. Be safe where you're home.
Stay New York, y'all. Love you guys.
Wendy's ready for next Friday. She said four.
I like it. I like it.